Hello, and welcome to Talking Shop with CTEX. I'm Dr. Ellen Solek. I'm the interim superintendent here at CTEX, the Connecticut Technical Education System in Connecticut. We are so proud today to be airing this very first podcast for you. I have with me today an esteemed guest. We're so glad that he's here today with us. Mr. Robert Tufai is our board chairman for the CTEX board. Among many, many other accomplishments, he is well-versed in our organization known as CTEX, and he and I are both here today to give you, hopefully, a much better idea of what CTEX is all about, what the CT world is all about in terms of technical education here in Connecticut, and his very special involvement as the promoter and really just the driving force behind CTEX as an organization. So welcome, Bob. We're so glad to have you today.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
So I remember meeting you early on. We were both involved in a trip to Washington, D.C., where we were advocating at that point for the Perkins Grant, which was really a great advantage for students interested in entering technical education. And I learned from you that you have had such wonderful experience throughout your career with tech ed and with students and being involved in the education sector. And so I thought if we could just start, I know our audience would be fascinated to hear really what your experience, what your story is in terms of tying together your experience as the CEO at Bridgeport Hospital. I know you've had wonderful involvement with the Bridgeport Board of Education. Lots of amazing ways that this synthesis came together for you. So we'd love to hear your story.
Okay. Well, this is the education component of it has been really marvelous. I was the chief executive officer at Bridgeport Hospital for 16 years. And when I retired, I was looking, what am I going to do next after that? And I did some executive coaching. I did a program, a certification program at Columbia. And toward the end of that program, there was an opportunity. They were looking for somebody to be on, or some people to be on the state appointed board of education in Bridgeport, because they were, the board there had asked the state to put in a state-appointed board. And so I said, gee, that sounds really a lot of fun. It would be interesting. At the hospital, we did a lot of education work. We ran education programs for our employees, did English as a second language, math skills, GED programs. And we also had education programs for people who were doctors that wanted to learn how to do interventional cardiology. So we went from kind of basic education right up to very advanced life-saving education at the same place. The thing that was probably the most satisfying part about that was a lot of the work we did with people who came into the organization and wanted to better themselves. The English language skills. We had a nursing school, so people could go to the nursing school. They could go to tuition free if they worked for us after they finished. So someone could come in and work in a service job, say in the kitchen or somewhere else, and they could take advantage of all those and end up being an RN at the end, going from an entry-level wage to $70,000 a year. And the thing that made me the most happy about that was it made a change not only for the people themselves, but also for their families. It gave them an opportunity to do things as a family they were not going to be able to do before that. And most of the people in our nursing school were adults. They had people who had graduated from high school, gone off on a career, and decided they wanted to pursue something in healthcare. So this seemed like a great thing from my perspective.
Absolutely, and a natural fit. And what I think about when you're telling this wonderful story, particularly around the opportunities for adult learners to come in and want to better themselves, want to become more educated, want to become successful in their own way in the workforce, That's really what the driving force is behind CTECs,
right.
That we provide the same opportunities in many different areas, and the culmination of that, as you just mentioned, is seeing them graduate.
Yes.
And watching them blossom from there, which is wonderful. And I know you've attended many graduations. I have yet to attend my first one, and looking forward to it, but that is just a wonderful reward for them and for us as well. So maybe we could talk for a minute about your involvement as well on the State Board of Education,
mm-hmm.
because you have had such wonderful experience getting a better sense of what the vision is statewide around the workforce that CTECs is really providing statewide, and what are some of the ways that CTECs is really increasing the efforts to connect with the state of Connecticut and its vision, and also industry and business partnerships in this state, and how that sort of all fits together. Again, you've had such a wonderful opportunity to see firsthand what that synergy is about.
Yeah, it's multifaceted, as you know. The State Board of Education, the CTECs program right now is a part of the State Department of Education. And so they take great pride in that. And I always say this is kind of like the parent letting the child go off on their own to be an independent agency. But you'll never lose that connection that we've had with them. And all the students will still be under the purview of the State Department of Education, as they are for all the schools in the state. The opportunities that people get are amazing. My grandfather, my mother's father, actually went to New Britain Trade School back in the early 1900s. So there's an interesting, I didn't realize that till fairly recently when I was reading some family history. So it made a difference in his life. It made a difference in their family's life too. I think there's the State Board of Education, which is obviously very concerned about this, and you come and report every month on what's going on with the high schools. There is also a governor's workforce council that's in place, and the governor has taken a tremendous interest in workforce development in the state. And not only an interest, but has put together the infrastructure to be able to promote that. And that workforce board, which I think you're also on at this point, meets once quarterly. And they have a lot of activities trying to find out exactly what employers want and making sure that we are trying to do the best we can to provide them with people who are well qualified. One of the nice things about the technical high school system is that the students not only get a high school education, they also get certified in skills that would make them very employable. People in manufacturing get national credentials by the time they finish, so when they go to an employer, they know that they know how to do their job. They can be hired in at a higher level than if they were just trying to learn how to do the work. They have some good basic education in that, and that's true for almost all the different areas that in the high school system. If there's a national credential, we go after that.
Yes.
And have had those in place.
You know, you have such a wonderful story around your grandparents. And I remember when I first came to CTECs 6 months ago, one of the things I was so anxious to share with the CTECs board in interviewing was really to talk about my family's involvement mm-hmm. in technical education and the trades in Connecticut. And I have very proud to have a son-in-law who is now working directly to train welding mm-hmm. professionals across the state. In fact,
Fantastic.
He's training a group of welders who are working on the Mixmaster Bridge over in Waterbury. I have two daughters, both of whom are highly accomplished hairdressers,
mm-hmm.
and they own their own business. So I was always proud of them,
yes.
right? But I never really understood the relevance behind what they were contributing to the state's workforce until I got to CTECs. And I realized I was really excited about learning more about the whole construct of CTECs, because my own family was really indirectly a part of that.
Right.
And you mentioned the certification status. I never understood until I came here as you so well said, that our students aren't just pursuing a trade in general for the sake of pursuing a trade. For example, if I go to Prince's Auto Tech Shop, they have a myriad of certifications that these kids are working on gaining as a part of their education in auto shop, right, which is going to qualify them for doing amazing things when they leave us mm-hmm. in another 2 or 3 years, that are really specialized training sectors in the auto body shop right. business, if you will. And I never knew that. Never knew it until I set foot at CTEX, among so many other things. So I'd love to talk with you more about that. What, on your in your experience as a CTEX board member, and also I know you visited many of the schools, we're both here at Cheney Tech today, and you've had an opportunity firsthand to visit some of the shops. What are the most profound sort of striking aspects of what we do at CTEX in the ways that it benefits students and families going forward? And you've spoken about some of that already.
I think one of the things that the state has made some really great investments in equipment and to making sure that the students are learning what their trade in the most modern pieces of equipment that exist. They're not getting trained in something that's really out of date and then going into a shop or a business that has the most up-to-date manufacturing equipment or other kinds of equipment, and that they're at a loss. I remember when I first started, I would go through and look at some of the machines that were some of the older machines that were in there. And you could tell they were old because they did not have zip codes. It was like Bridgeport 12, Connecticut or something like that. Fortunately, we don't have those anymore. You know, the state has made a terrific investment in machinery, in manufacturing, and in all the other trades too, and like this studio, which is really fantastic. I've been in other studios. This is as good as it gets.
Oh, is it ever? And we credit all the students who are so diligently behind cameras today taping us. So we thank you very much, guys, for all that you've done to put this together today. It is really impressive.
It is impressive.
To be sitting in this space. So, you know, I'm thinking about, as you're talking about the equipment, the first diesel technology shop I mm-hmm. got into. And I remember marveling at the fact that we had women who were working on these giant diesel pieces of equipment and tires, and just everything's oversized. Not only do we have women working in trades now that we don't necessarily assume are female trades, mm-hmm. but we also have this equipment that's being donated from throughout the state of Connecticut, from businesses who really want to partner with us and really want to make sure that our workforce becomes a part of their workforce eventually. So it's, as you said, it's a wonderful synergy that's happening.
And we've seen a real growth in the young ladies who's come to the program. The young men that come are great, but you got to have a balance. And like we're up to 45% female students and,
yes.
65% male students. And the women who come here they're terrific. They're leaders. I always marvel when I go to graduations and the officers of that last class are passing on the mantle to the officers of the new senior class. And about 2/3 of them are women.
How true.
Yeah.
Yes.
I went to a technical, an engineering school when I was in a graduate school. I got to tell you, guys are pretty dull. We had mostly guys. We had almost all guys at that point. Now that school is about the same as this. They're half and half. And a lot of the women will come in. This is true of all the different students that come in, not just the women's students. They'll come in and say, well, I want to do this. This is what I'm going to pick. And by the time they finish the rotation, going through all the different trades, which everybody has to, and get an exposure to it, and then pick a few, go back, spend more time, and then they get matched with, you know, by the instructors and by the student as they get hopefully their first or second choices, usually their first. A lot of them change. They came in thinking they're going to do one thing, and by the time they get exposure to it, said, I'm really excited about doing something different.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think our vision from an adult perspective is that they're going to come in, as you mentioned, go through their sort of exploratory opportunity in freshman year to see what the trades are really about, and that once they select one, they're in it. In some cases, that certainly is true, but we have quite a few students who either want to pursue two or three trades, or, as you said, they enter a trade, and then just through just experience being around and about the other shops, they kind of get interested in another trade. And that's wonderful, because sure. We're able to offer them enough variety that they really have an opportunity in 4 years to get a very good window in on what their passion really is and what their strengths are about. And not so sure that always happens in a four-year academic environment, because our students are so, they're hands-on oriented, they want to create, they want to get out and join the workforce oftentimes as graduates of high school. And in fact, we're working on a program right now called Vision of the Graduate. Mm-hmm. And you've had such wonderful input, as has the board at CTECS, around what that should look like. And what do we need to do as a school district to be more responsive to the needs of graduates as they leave us? Any thoughts about that, Bob?
Yeah, I think the one of the things, I'll just go back for a second and talk about some of the licensed trades, because that's kind of, a portrait of a graduate, that when somebody, say they want to go in to be an electrician, plumber, there's a licensed trade, so they have to be certified by the state. And while they're in the school, while they're in their high school, they get a chance to get over 1,000 hours of apprenticeship credit while they're there. And in order to become a licensed, you also have to go through an academic portion. And so they will finish all the academic work, and they will have over 1,000 hours against the apprentice hours they need in order to be certified and to be licensed in that particular trade. And that's a great boost up for students who come through that. As you say, people, they change their mind about what they want to do, and they change it. We have the exploratory helps a lot with that. I think they get to make a decision early on, that's a lot of people don't make that decision until they get to college.
Yes.
They think they want to be majoring in something, and then they change their mind. And they've lost some time in doing that. I did that when I went to college. I had a certain type of engineering I thought I would want to go into, and I decided, I really didn't like it too much.
Yes.
And I switched over to something else. I found my home there, and
I
was very happy with
it. That's a wonderful way to put it.
But it's the thing I didn't get a chance to do until I was in college.
Yes.
Because I really got into the nuts and bolts of it and said, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And these students actually get a chance to do that even right at the beginning of high school, to say, well, that's really not what I thought it was going to be. This other thing is pretty interesting.
And I think I find generationally, too, it changes. Because it used to be, my father and mother's generation, to switch professions was somewhat frowned upon, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the reputation was that my father would go to work in a company and he would stay there until he was ready to retire 30 years later.
Right.
And now it's much more accepted that we all have the chance to kind of pursue our journey, and that might take quite a few turns along the way. And I think as we both look back at that, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So I'm also wondering about, you have this wonderful engineering background, and I was thinking of you the other day because I went into one of the shops, the manufacturing shops, and they were really piecing together a very intricate piece of metalwork that was going to fit in a particular machine, and I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have that detail-oriented patience. And you so appreciate it, with the engineering background and the understanding of what it takes, right, to do that kind of training. How do you see our students after their apprenticeship, after their opportunities to really go out and do some production site work and those kinds of things, based on 22nd century now, needs for manufacturing, engineering, more precision-driven kinds of trades, Do you see our students as being well prepared to enter that kind of a workforce?
I think they really are. I think even when I was in engineering school, I ended up being in industrial engineering, which is kind of a combination of management and engineering, and you see these students and what they get to do. And I think the thing that impresses me the most is that you learn from mistakes. You don't learn, you know, you can read the book, you can do that, you can take a test and you do okay or not do okay in the test. And the students who come here get an opportunity to learn the theory, and they also have an opportunity to practice that. And it doesn't always go well. And that's great, because I know I learned the most from the mistakes that I made. That I learned more from those than the things that went well. I just tried to replicate the things that went well, but I learned a lot more from the mistakes, were the things that didn't go as well. And just by virtue of the nature of the trade work that they're doing, or the technical work, they get a chance to, oh, that didn't work. I got to try something else. Because in the end of the day, they got to find something that works. And I think you were mentioning the precision. There's a couple, when the space station that's flying around up there, there are parts up there that were made by the students at Platt Tech. It's not just precision. It's precision that can be in the International Space Station.
Yes. Isn't that, it's amazing when to stop and think about the fact that our students are involved in international creativity, inventiveness, as you said, space exploration. How amazing is that?
Sure.
You know, I want to go back for a minute, talk about my own, as I said, lack of global understanding around CTECs when I first came. I've been honored to serve as a superintendent in Connecticut for a number of years in the local education setting, which is certainly more academic and less trade-oriented. And so when I came here, it was a huge learning curve for me to really understand that CTECs offers this wonderful synergy between academics, which are crucial skills for students, our students to have and to gain, but how that really fits into our trade approach and our need to fully prepare a very well-rounded, well-equipped student going forward. And we've had talks in classrooms about why that's so important, that it really isn't a one versus the other concept or one versus the other approach. It really has to be a marriage or a synergy, if you will. And you just spoke to a minute ago, we have classrooms where students have the opportunity not only to gain a well-rounded education, but to have an understanding, forgiving enough environment that, as you said so well, as I do as well, we learn by our mistakes. We really do. And our students here have the opportunity to try, to fail, and to retry, and to experiment until they get it where they want to get it. So going forward, if I think about the vision that Connecticut has for our workforce, the need for our workforce partnership program, and to bring our students into businesses, I think we do a phenomenal job of bringing those academic skills together with the trade skills and really meshing what becomes a very well-prepared, very well-rounded student. And I had no idea about that when I first got here and how important that piece is.
It is extremely important. In fact, we have these different committees that have employers in them, and I get to sit on some of those, and it's amazing how much they appreciate the students. And the employers are looking for two things. One is the technical skills, and the other is just their work ethic and the way in which they, you know, some people call it the soft skills or really living skills,
yes.
I would call it.
Yes, right.
They, being there on time, knowing what they need to do, doing that, the drive to do it. And the reaction we get from employers is these students are not only technically prepared, but they're also prepared for life too.
Absolutely.
And they know how to present themselves, they know how to talk, how to do that. I've been to a number of graduations and some shop graduations, and the young people that are coming out of those are just fantastic.
Yes.
The poise and the ability to interact with adults is just, it's second nature to them at this point.
It is.
And a lot of them will say, I was very shy. I would never do this before, but they've come out of their shell and have really made a difference for them.
They do. They make a difference for us too, which is wonderful. And Bob, I can't thank you enough, first and foremost, for your leadership, what you provide for CTEX, for all of us here, for the leadership and guidance, and for just your willingness to do our first, very first show today.
My pleasure.
I couldn't be more proud to be a part of it with you. And for our listening and viewing audience, we'll be back with additional podcasts and video shows to come. Meanwhile, again, my sincere thanks to you, Mr. Trefive, for all you bring to us, and for your vision, for your leadership. And we just could not be happier to be a part of CTEX with your leadership. Thank you so much.
Dr. Solik, thank you so much for asking.